Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Mark chapter 7. I read for you again these words. And Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. There was once a young boy who, when called to the dinner table, promptly came in and sat down. His mother asked him, "Did you wash your hands?" To which he gets up and goes into the bathroom, turns on the water, wets his hands a little bit, turns off the water, dries his hands, and comes back to the table. His mother asked, "Did you use soap?" He gets up again, grumbling, goes to the bathroom, uses water and soap this time, dries his hands, and comes back. Now, this mother did not go through all of this tradition simply because it's tradition. But she did it for the sake of hygiene. She wanted her son to learn healthy habits. But such was not the case with the Pharisees and the scribes who came to Jesus. When they complained to Jesus about his disciples eating with unwashed hands, it was not a matter of hygiene, but tradition. And so Jesus addresses just that point, for their traditions had gotten out of control. Now, you can't hardly talk about traditions without thinking of Tevi from Fiddler on the Roof. He sings, "Because of our traditions, we've kept our balance for many, many years. Here in Anatevka, we have traditions for everything. How to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God." You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I'll tell you. I don't know. But it's a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. Well, unfortunately for Tevi, Jesus disagrees. After all, God himself tells us who we are and what he expects us to do. That's why Jesus calls the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites and says to them, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And again, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." And again, he says, "You are making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down." Tradition? Jesus seems to be saying, "Fooey on tradition." Now, to be sure, Jesus is not rejecting all traditions. After all, there are many traditions that are quite good and beneficial. Jesus himself kept many of the traditions. He went regularly to the synagogue, as was his custom, the Gospels add. He went up to Jerusalem for the annual pilgrimage festivals, as God's word directed. And so it appears that Jesus is not set against all traditions. After all, the word tradition means something handed down. Handed down from one generation to the next. It could be a traditional teaching or a traditional practice. But the teaching or practice is neither good nor bad simply because it was handed down. There are other considerations. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." Here he's talking about doctrine and good worship practices. And a little later he tells them, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed," and so on. Paul here applies the doctrine of the Lord's Supper to their practice of it. "What I received from the Lord, I delivered to you. I passed it on." That's tradition. Again, Paul writes, "Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Do those words sound familiar? They should. Paul's words, the tradition he passed on, have found their way into the church's creeds. The traditional teaching of the person and work of Christ, the Savior of sinners, saves lives. That's why Paul told the Thessalonians, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us." And to Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's multi-generational tradition, and the apostle wants it to happen. Why? Because it accords with God's word and delivers Christ and his gifts. But when the Pharisees and scribes held to traditions for tradition's sake, or especially held to traditions that contradict or circumvent the word of God and lead people to false belief, those traditions have got to go. That's what Jesus addresses. You see, as far as washing hands, they thought that a ritual washing was not a matter of hygiene, but it was necessary to purify them before God. They had declared that they should wash from knuckles to elbow, like almost like a surgeon washing and lifting the hands up. But the reality is that nothing you can do will purify you before God. Your standing before God is based only on believing in Jesus, who gave his life and shed his blood for you. And then there was this tradition they created, which declared that some of your money could be set aside, dedicated as a gift to God, and it was called korban. And that money could not be used for any other purpose. However, the scribes and the Pharisees abused that tradition. If their parents became old or needed their help, they would say that they had set this extra money aside as korban, and that therefore they couldn't spend it to help their parents. That was dangerous, Jesus says. The Pharisees and the scribes were circumventing a direct commandment from God, as he said in the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And they were using the man-made tradition about korban as their excuse. That's the kind of tradition that Jesus condemns here. A tradition made up by man, but taught as doctrine of God. So, how about traditions in our life? I once heard about a young bride who was going to celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever the holiday was, and that they were going to have ham, and that she took a big knife and whacked off one end of the ham and whacked off another end of the ham, put it in a pan and put it in the oven. And her husband said, "What in the world? Why do you lop off both ends of the ham?" She said, "I don't know. My mom always did it." So they asked, Mom, why do you lop off both ends of the ham? And she says, "Well, my mother did it." So they go to Grandma and say, "Grandma, why do you cut off both ends of the ham?" She says, "Well, my mother did it." Well, by God's grace, great-grandma was still there. And she says, "Great-grandma, why do you cut off both ends of the ham?" And she says, "Well, when I was young and first got married, the ham was too big to fit in my pan. So I had to cut off both ends so it would fit." Tradition. And there are traditions even in the church that, quite frankly, would be very good and wise for us to keep and pass on to the next generation. Among those traditions would be the creeds. For in the creeds, we have the teaching of the holy apostles passed on for centuries in the church and preserved for us in succinct, memorable form. The creeds pass on the saving gospel of Christ, which we have received and in which we stand and by which we are saved. What tradition could be better than the Nicene Creed, for instance, which teaches us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was crucified also for us, and who rose again according to the scriptures, and so on. You see, that is the very gospel itself which the apostles preached, which we believe, and which delivers to us all the saving benefits of Christ. Our works and traditions will not gain us entry into heaven. Our hands are defiled with sin, and all our self-chosen works will not get that stain out. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, will do that. And it does. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sins. The washing God does in holy baptism applies the forgiveness of sins Christ won for us on the cross. This is the gospel, and it is for you. And this gospel, passed along to us in word and sacrament, delivers the goods. That's the value of tradition in the good sense. And that is what we should preserve, therefore, in the teachings and practices of the church. Of course, there are other traditions that are good and useful for the gospel and should also be kept. The liturgy, the structure and text of the divine service, which we have and use in our hymnal, is certainly worth using, preserving, and passing on. So our vestments, crossing oneself, even genuflecting or bowing deeply at the words, when Christ became incarnate and was born of the Virgin Mary, and so on. Even worshiping on Sundays is a tradition. And it is good to keep such traditions. These and many other traditions are not absolutely necessary. They certainly don't merit anything before God. But they are good and useful, for they help to deliver Christ's, God's gifts in Christ. But if a tradition in the church, or in our own lives for that matter, don't point us to Christ, if a tradition directs our attention to someone or something else other than Christ and His saving work, if a tradition leads us to trust in that tradition rather than in Christ Himself, if the tradition teaches something contrary to God's word, or gets in the way or distracts us from Christ and His gifts, then that tradition has to go. But when a tradition serves the Word of God and helps pass along the one and only saving gospel of Christ, then we can say and sing out with no shame, "Tradition! Tradition! To the glory of Christ's holy name." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.